I think Brother Randy is older than I thought he was. He's lost the ability to count. We've known each other much longer than 40 years, but that's okay, brother. We grew up in different churches together, and I'm thankful for our association together, our fellowship through the years with him and Dawn and the churches in Michigan and Ohio and down here in Tennessee as well. Been many years ago, one Sunday morning I arrived at church and a lady came in. She said, "Let's just sing today." And it really kind of irritated me. I'd been praying and studying and trying to prepare, and I thought, no, let's just preach today. But I was sitting there a few minutes ago thinking, yeah, let's just sing tonight. It'd be great. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me to come to be a part of this revival effort, and we've shared a kinship through the years with all of you from many different churches, and I appreciate that so much. Your kindness is just really quite overwhelming. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Wherever we go and whatever church that we are privileged to attend, it's a blessing to be in God's house. And to be with people who know, absolutely know, that they've been saved by the grace of God. You know, you find a connection right away. And I'm truly thankful for that. And through the years, you have been good to me. I've been privileged to come here many, many times. We've seen a lot of blessings in the Lord. And I'm praying tonight that we'll be blessed here. I've been blessed already. It's amazing, isn't it, to hear the wide variety of songs that we've heard tonight, all of them different in their own unique way, and all of them honor and glorify God. And the songs that we've heard tonight, they'll preach. They'll preach. Our songs should be biblical. They should be biblically based, you know, and I believe we've heard that tonight. And it's truly been a blessing to me. When I moved to West Tennessee 33 years ago, Brother Kenny Rush asked me at Huntingdon, he said, "You know what a Southerner's worst nightmare is?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "It's a Yankee headed south with a U-Haul." And I thought about it for a moment. I said, "You know what a Yankee's worst nightmare is?" He said, "What?" I said, "A Yankee headed south with a U-Haul." In the first revival here, I don't know, somewhere about midweek, we were having dinner at Country and Western, and I just happened to mention that I wasn't a Yankee. I was actually born in East Tennessee. And I believe as Brother Wimberly said, "You know, Brother Stable, and I believe it'll help this revival if you tell people you're not a Yankee." So for whatever it's worth tonight, I'm not a Yankee. But anyway, it is a joy to be here, and God forgive me for my foolishness. I'm glad we can laugh and have a good time, but there's a time to be serious, and that time is now. I'm grateful for the revival effort. I was saved in a revival meeting in Toledo, Ohio, and it's been my experience through the years that more people get saved during revival than any other time throughout the year. That's because, brothers and sisters, we get focused. We see what's coming. We begin praying. We begin preparing. And I'm sure you all have prepared for this revival meeting. And whatever is important that we're going to do, it requires some preparation. And I want to tell you tonight that the great message in God's Word comes from Amos 4 and 12. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. God's Word tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're getting ready. I believe we're close, that we're getting ready to make a long journey. I don't know how far it is from here to heaven. A long way, I imagine. I'm thankful tonight I don't have to worry about how I'm going to get there. Because I know Jesus Christ, my Lord, is going to get me there safe. I prepared a long time ago, and Scripture tells us that now it's high time that we awake out of sleep, out of our slumber. And Scripture admonishes us to prepare to meet God. If anyone's here tonight that has not been saved, you are not prepared. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all appointed for all of us to stand before God. Every eye is going to see Him. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. On that day, I'll be happy to bow before my Savior and acknowledge that He is Lord. There'll be many in that day that'll be terrified, absolutely terrified. There'll be many in that day that will run to the rocks and mountains and cry to them to fall on them and hide them from the face of Him who sits upon the throne. But there'll be no place to hide, and there'll be no excuses. Now is the time, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. I want to urge you tonight, if you do not know the Lord, if you've not been saved, I want to urge you tonight to prepare to meet your God. I pray that what I'm going to say tonight will honor God, that it will encourage the church, that it will help you to know what you must do in order to be saved, to be prepared for that moment. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. The Apostle Paul was a great missionary. Perhaps the greatest missionary who's ever lived. I don't know. Maybe Judgment Day will reveal that to us. I'm not sure about that. I know he's a great missionary. All we need to do is read the New Testament account of his life. And much of the New Testament is about him, written by him. But the focus of it all is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul traveled thousands of miles, traveled much of the known world at that time. And his purpose was, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In his writing here, he says that he had a great desire to go to Rome. He had a desire to go there that he might be able to share, impart to them some spiritual gift, and at the same time receive back from them some spiritual gift. And brothers and sisters, it's good for us to be here that together we might be able to help one another with the spiritual gifts that we enjoy ourselves and we should share with other people. Paul recognized that he would benefit from such a trip. And he said, for a long time I've desired to go there but have been hindered. But now, he said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, he continued, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And he goes on to say that we will be without excuse. We will be without excuse. My message tonight for a few moments, I don't think I'll make it in 15 minutes, Kenny. My message tonight for a few moments is peace on earth. Peace on earth. In Proverbs 25 and 25, I believe Solomon was the author there. He said, as cold water is to a thirsty soul, So is good news from a far country. What would you give tonight for some good news? How long has it been since you've really heard some good news? Here recently, I have reluctantly listened to the news occasionally. I don't listen to it near as much as I used to. I'll tell you what, it troubles me. It discourages me. It disheartens me because so much of the news, you all know, is bad news. I remember years ago in Bible college in Detroit, one of the professors said, when we study our Bible, when we're preparing for Sunday service or whenever we have the opportunity to preach the Word, we should study with God's Word in one hand and a newspaper in another. The reason is because God's Word doesn't just deal with the dusty old past. It deals with the here and now. And it gives us perspective. It gives us understanding of what things we hear about and read about in our present time. Yeah. News. Have you thought about what news is? The word news is plural of new. And literally what news is new things, shortened to just simply news. And sadly, what we're hearing in our time and have for a long, long time, and news most of the time, anytime, is bad news. It's what makes the news. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he talked over and over and over about life under the sun. Life under the sun. And what he's talking about is life here on terra firma. Life here on this earth. And at the end of his days, I'll tell you, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, some of the wealthiest men in the world today. But their wealth, their riches pales in comparison to that which King Solomon enjoyed in his time. Right. When God asked Solomon, you know, ask anything you want. And he said, I will give it to you. Literally gave him a blank check. And Solomon said, give me wisdom that I may know how to go in and out among these people. In other words, to be able to govern this people. That request pleased God. And God blessed him with that and gave him wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man to have ever lived. But besides that, because the saying pleased the Lord, he said, I'm going to give you great riches. And Solomon had ships going all over the world, sailing the seven seas and bringing back the wealth of all those nations back to Israel. People were coming from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon, to see the glory of Solomon. Solomon built buildings and palaces. He planted gardens. He had the unique opportunity to experience life as no one else ever could. And in the end of it all, he said, life under the sun is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's emptiness and frustration, and yet the world today, it's not uncommon for all of us to want to search for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and for those people who come close to having that wealth in their hands, they get there and they discover it's just like God's Word says. It's emptiness, it's vanity, and frustration, and there's no peace in it. In our world, life under the sun now, the economy's bust, isn't it? Stocks are falling. Food prices are off the charts. We are laughing, joking about taking out a mortgage to get a tank of gasoline today. And there doesn't seem to be any relief in sight, does there? No relief in sight. We're hearing about, have been hearing about, struggling with coronavirus. My brother's in the ministry. We're all frustrated because of the effects of coronavirus on our churches and the absence of people in the pews and all of that sort of thing. The masking and the social distancing and the sickness and the suffering and even the death from it. And now the world's engaged in a war. And I say the world is engaged in a war because the war in Ukraine is certainly affecting us here, isn't it? And the experts are worried that this war so far away will wind up bringing us into another world war. And I got to tell you, folks, that's not out of the realm of possibility. But I want to remind you, when Paul wrote these words in the book of Romans, in fact, the entire New Testament, the Gospels and the other letters, all the way into Revelation, the world was occupied by the Romans. Israel, God's chosen people, their land was occupied by alien armies. Everywhere you look, I was in Israel several years ago, was privileged to go there, and I wondered, who would want to live this way? Everywhere we looked, there were army soldiers standing around with machine guns in their hand. I remember Brother Randy licking an ice cream cone and an Israeli soldier standing there with his gun barrel pointed at the brother's head. I wanted to get a picture, but we were warned not to do that. It was rather comical, but frightening too. Who wants to live that way? That's the way the Israelites were living in Paul's day. Taxed to near starvation, oppressed in every possible way. They were living under Pax Romana, Roman peace. But Roman peace amounted to toe the line or pay the price. You know, we're alarmed, we're disturbed, aren't we, when we see the jihadis with the Christians lined up, ready for their heads to be taken off. It's alarming. It's disturbing. But imagine Main Street here in Camden or Huntingdon or wherever it is that you're from being lined with crosses. And not empty crosses. They were used to seeing that in their day. That was the world then. It isn't much different today. But I've got good news. God sent a messenger from heaven saying, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and Elizabeth and told them about a miraculous birth that was going to come. That same angel appeared to Mary and to Joseph. Mary, a humble virgin girl, maybe about 15 years old, I don't know, with a promise from God that she was going to give birth to a son, which she did, and laid that little child in a lowly manger. And out in the fields, the shepherds came. They saw the herald angels that came and brought good news to them. They were the first ones to come and to see this glorious sight. And those shepherds were some of the lowest class of people in that time. I love it in Luke's gospel where we read there that Jesus Christ was sent to give sight to the blind, strength to the lame, to comfort the downhearted, but also to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen, God's word reveals to us that wise men came from the east. Praise the Lord, they did. We sing the song, "We Three Kings." They weren't kings when they came. They were wise men. They were intelligent men. They were educated men. But they were faithful men and devoted men to make that journey all the way there, looking for him who was born King of the Jews. And they came and they saw and they went away different. They went away. They came as wise men, but they went away as children of the Most High God. I want to tell you that's good news. It's good news today, folks, that Jesus Christ was born back then. It's been a long time ago, but praise the Lord. His name is called Emmanuel. He is God with us. John put it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. It's still good news today because that same miraculous phenomenon is still happening. It's good news that Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel, that He's God walking among us. He was God walking among them in those days, and He lived a sinless life. He was tempted, and He was taunted, and He was tried, yet without sin. Praise the Lord. And the Scripture tells us that He took your sin, and He took my sin. In fact, He took the sins of the whole world, and He went all the way to Calvary's cross and nailed those sins to that tree. And Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah said, God saw the suffering of His soul and was satisfied. Listen, when Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, the Scripture, Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Biblical scholars believe it wasn't possible for God to look upon Him because He became sin for us. He literally became sin for us and died in our place. But Isaiah said, God saw His suffering. I want to tell you, He saw it. He saw it way years in advance before Jesus ever went there, but He saw it, and praise the Lord, He was wounded for our transgressions. With His stripes we are healed, and God saw His suffering there, and He was satisfied with it. That's why we have good news, that everyone who will believe that message can come to Him and be saved by His marvelous grace. Yes, God saw the suffering of His one and only Son, and He was satisfied with it. People think sin is just a miscalculation. They think it's just a flub, you know, just an accidental mistake. They think it's a very small thing. But I want to tell you, sin is lawlessness. It's an abandonment of God and His righteousness. It's a rejection of God. And Jesus Christ didn't just die for a few little sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. From the foundation of the world, from Adam's sin all the way down through now, He took all of those sins and went to the cross. And there's no telling what Christ our Savior endured while He was here on this earth. It's no telling what He's endured from evil, wicked men from the foundation of the earth until now. But He bore it all, and He's still putting up with us. God's Word tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know what you are, but I know what I am. And God had mercy on my unworthy soul. He paid the price for me and you and every other human being in this world, if they'd only believe it. I don't know of any other good news to share with you tonight other than that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is Savior. That's why Paul, everywhere he went, he determined not to know anything. There's nothing better than we can preach tonight. I wondered, as I was trying to prepare to come here, having just this one opportunity to stand before you tonight, what would I say? What important thing could I say? And it all boiled down to this. There's nothing more important that I can say tonight than that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he is the Son of God. He is the Savior of lost humanity. That he suffered and bled and died that we might have the hope of everlasting life. And I know that there's power in just mentioning that name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And friend, you must prepare to meet God. You don't want to go there unprepared to meet your God. You can't imagine what it's going to be like. It's good news, brothers and sisters, tonight that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. I'm thankful that I was warned about that when I was a young boy growing up. It's painful, isn't it, to know that there are things in this world that can hurt you. You know, but we need to be told about those things. It's been painful through these years of coronavirus, you know, to be warned about this dreadful disease that could take your life. But thank God for the warning. It's been confusing. There's been so much misinformation. None of us hardly knows what to do. But make no mistake about God's word. Amen. Sin is an egregious offense. And God demanded the death penalty because of sin. And God's wrath is going to be poured out upon an evil and adulterous generation without mixture, without dilution, the scripture says. That's going to be a horrible time. But God is righteous, and his righteousness is going to be vindicated one of these days. Just a backdrop for Paul's message here for our time. I said at Huntingdon a few weeks ago, I've said this from the pulpit many, many times. These are uncertain times. These are uncertain times, but in my study, in my prayers, I've changed my mind. These are not uncertain times because Jesus Christ warned his disciples in his day that these days were going to come, that they would be just like what we're seeing right now. And God's word is unfolding. It's fulfilling itself. And we are the witnesses of that in our time. We can literally see God's word fulfilling itself. It's coming to pass just like he said. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word will not pass away. It's all going to be fulfilled, every jot and tittle of it. The least little particle of God's word is going to be fulfilled just like it is, just like it's written. There are lots of gods in this world, but God says, our God says, there's none like me. There's none like me declaring the end from the beginning, revealing to us. And Jesus told his disciples, I've told you these things before they come to pass so that you would know. And he warned them about things to come. And we're seeing those things in our time. We certainly are. He told about wars and rumors of wars. That's bad news, isn't it? It's what we're hearing on the news all the time anymore. 1917. Prince Ferdinand of Austria was assassinated. And that singular event sparked World War I. In 1939, that's old news. In 1939, Adolf Hitler invaded Poland. And that event brought us into World War II. That's old news. I've read accounts of that they estimate somewhere near 60 million people perhaps died, but that's on the low end of the estimate. Others estimate as much as 100 million people died from World War II. They thought World War I was the war that would end all wars. They thought the world was coming to an end. It sure looked like it. But the flu virus struck. And people got so sick they just couldn't fight anymore, so they quit. But a few years later, World War II started. And what a terrible Holocaust that was. Bad news. Recent news this year, 2022, Vladimir Putin has invaded Ukraine. I don't know how many miles away from us that is. Seems like an awful long way for us to be troubled about it here. But it's certainly troubling our land, isn't it? Yeah. The only difference now is the world's superpowers are armed with nuclear warheads. The International Atomic Energy Association estimates 19 nations possess some 13,000 nuclear warheads, but they're really not certain how many there are. The United States and Russia possesses 90% of them. And in the time that I've been standing before you, not hardly 30 minutes yet, Kenny, in just 30 minutes, a nuclear warhead fired from Russia can reach the United States anywhere. Vladimir Putin is a warmonger. He's a megalomaniac. And he has access to the buttons there. Will it happen? I don't know. Do people worry about it? You bet they do. It's something to think about. It's something to think about. These are not uncertain times, but our life is certainly uncertain. That's the only certain thing about life, is that it is uncertain. I said, my message tonight is peace on earth. Peace on earth. We look around the world, we don't see much peace anywhere, do we? But I want to tell you, there's peace on earth. Amen. The angels that came out the night Jesus Christ was born, a whole host of angels gathered together. Lisa, you talked about millions of people gathering together one day and lifting their voices and begin to sing praise. That's good news, isn't it? I can't hardly wait. Those angels began to sing that night, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. I want to tell you there's peace on earth right now, tonight. You want to know where it is? Right here. I've got peace right here. When I turn the news on and sit down for a few minutes and think I'll just listen to the news, I get downhearted and discouraged and fearful. But I turn the news off and I get to meditating on the Lord, and I take a little time to have a little talk with Jesus. I want to tell you, the peace begins to roll. There's peace tonight on this earth. Has been all along. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, people who have lived in horrendous times, much worse than what you and I are experiencing right now in these United States of America. And they could get really bad really quick. I don't know what's going to happen, but if I were you, I'd seriously consider tonight preparing to meet your God. You know, maybe we'll get over it. Maybe coronavirus will pass and it won't be a problem anymore, but there'll be something around the corner. I promise you there will. Maybe we'll get over this war in Ukraine and there'll be a relative peace in the world and we'll enjoy more prosperous times, but I'll guarantee you there'll be something worse around the corner. It's coming. God's word says it's coming and you can mark it down. It's going to come. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is still our Emmanuel. I'm proud to say he's still walking among us. And we have access to him, the poor. God bless the poor have access to the Savior of lost humanity. For the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's available tonight. He's available tonight through faith in him. As many as received him. As many as hear this message and will believe it and receive him. Come to him. Trust in him. Seek him with all your heart and soul. You can find peace tonight that passes all understanding. Joy that is inexpressible. That's what our Lord has to offer tonight. That is good news. Brother Lunsford, Brother John D. preached at our church not long before he passed away. Oh, it was exciting. I wished I had half of his voice. Great big booming voice for this short little guy. And he talked about the jihadis sending those missiles over here. And he pointed up to the ceiling. He said, that missile can come right down through that ceiling right now. He said, that's all right. He said, I'll be in heaven before it explodes. Are you ready tonight? Are you prepared? You know, it takes a long time to raise a child and get him ready for adulthood. Yeah. The hardest creature in the world to get ready for life. Sad to say, the hardest creature in the world to get ready to spend eternity with God. Just to get them to pay attention a little. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? Are you troubled? You can know peace. You can have peace on this earth in the midst of troubled waters, in the midst of storms and world wars. You can have peace tonight. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, peace I leave with you. Not as the world understands peace, but my peace. That's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the gift of God. It's eternal life. While we stand together for a moment, Brother Randy, come on. While we stand together for a moment, if God is speaking to your heart tonight, I beg you, seek the Lord tonight. You may not have to leave your seat. You can find the Lord right where you're at. But if he's leading you down here to this altar, you need to listen. You need to listen to him and follow him. Trust him with all your heart. While we sing.
182. Blue book. 182.